The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Good morning to all of our friends, family, members, relatives, distance relations. Welcome, welcome you all. Welcome to being in this space. Today is the fourth Sunday after Epiphany, and together we will encounter God in word and in sacrament and in the presence of each other. I invite you now to turn to your bulletin, and we begin worship with a call to worship. This is the day the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
I invite all those who can stand to stand now, knowing that if you cannot stand, the church stands with and for you. Mighty God, lover of justice,
you call us to life in community, but we have served our own interests at the expense of our neighbors. We have sown deceit where honesty was needed. We say the right words, but our hearts are far from you. Turn us to seek your face. Knit us together and give us the mind of Christ, that we may do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with you, our God.
The former things have passed away. and new things God now declares. Like a spring of water that never fails, God covers you in the righteousness of Christ and forgives your sin in Jesus' name. May the Spirit give you strength to live for others and bless you with the gift of peace.
Amen.
You may be seated. Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Holy God, you confound the world's wisdom in giving your kingdom to lowly and pure in heart.
Give us such a hunger and thirst for justice and perseverance in striving for peace, that in our words and deeds the world may see the light of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
And now we invite the children forward for a children's message. How are you guys today?
Good.
Well, we have a wonderfully powerful, strange text from Jesus today about how to live. But I'm going to ask you a question. You know what this is?
Yes.
What does it do?
Soaks up water.
It soaks up water. But how does it soak up water? With the holes, yeah, but how much does the sponge have to work to do it?
Nothing.
It's almost like self-working, right? So they get water. You see the water in there? Sure. And you just put the sponge, you just throw the sponge in. The sponge does all the work, right? You don't really have to do much work. The sponge does it all. And then, if you have another bowl that you need water into, so the sponge did no work other than just laid there. It's the best work ever, right? But then if you have someone who needs water from not doing anything, you now have all this water to give. Oh, it's a dirty sponge. So Jesus has some powerful words for us today. I invite us all to be sponges. And just be around Jesus, look at the face of Jesus in the Beatitudes, and then be the sponge that sucks it in, so that when we go out into the world, we can pour the water of love that we have from Christ all around us. So let us pray. On the count of three, we're going to clap our hands together, like we're coming in as well. Say, 1, 2, 3. Repeat after me. Dear God.
Dear God.
Thank you for loving us.
Thank you for loving us.
Thank you for Christ.
Thank you for Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
first reading today is from Micah chapter 6. Hear now the word. Hear what the Lord says. Rise, plead your case before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. Hear, you mountains, the case of the Lord, and you enduring foundations of the earth, for the Lord has a case against his people, and he will contend with Israel. O my people, what have I done to you? In what have I wearied you? Answer me. For I brought you up from the land of Egypt, and I redeemed you from the house of slavery, and I sent you before Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember now what King Balak of Moab devised, what Balaam, son of Beor, answered him, and what happened from Shittim to Gilgal, that you may know the saving acts of the Lord. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with God, with your God? Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm may be found on page 6 of your bulletin. I will read the light print. Please reply with the bold print. Lord, who may dwell in your tabernacle? Who may abide upon your holy hill?
Those who lead a blameless life and do what is right, who seek the truth from their heart.
They do not slander with the tongue. They do no evil to their friends. They do not cast discredit upon a neighbor.
In their sight, the wicked are rejected, but they honor those who fear the Lord. They have sworn upon their health, and do not take back their word.
They do not give their money in hope of gain, nor do they take bribes against the innocent. Those who do these things shall never be overthrown. The second reading is from a first letter to the Corinthians. Hear now the word. The message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scholar? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, God decided, through the foolishness of the proclamation, to save those who believe. For Jews ask for signs and Greeks desire wisdom, but we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. Consider your own call, brothers and sisters. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, things that are not, to abolish things that are, so that no one might boast in the presence of God. In contrast, God is why you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, in order that, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you, and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
It's always a strange and overwhelming experience having to give a sermon about this portion of the text that we call the Beatitudes, because Jesus says it so simply yet so profoundly, so easy yet so difficult. He presents the perfect sermon, if you would, of what the Christian life is, and I don't know how to top it, so I am tempted to just read them again and go sit down. And let's be honest, most sermons we hear on these texts are more the preacher trying to preach around the text than actually dwell on them. And I don't want to do that. I touched a little bit last week on the difference between, or the distinction we have to make sometimes between the teaching about Jesus, which the church is really good about, not so good sometimes understanding the teaching of Jesus. And today we are dead smack in the middle of the teaching of Jesus. And of course, part of our problem with trying to understand what is going on here is twofold. First, we have to ask ourselves, is this really what Jesus wants us to do? I think it's pretty obvious that Jesus is saying it to his disciples, to the crowd, that this is maybe what Jesus, the way Jesus wants us to live. That's not so difficult. The hard part is trying to reconcile it with some of our theology, which has at its core this question of, how do I get in the gate? And so then we hear texts like this, and we think, oh, it's all about earning a whole bunch of things to get in that pearly gate called heaven. And that's, I think, our problem. Jesus isn't describing the entry admission Christ had to the kingdom of heaven. Jesus already showed up, has already shown up in our text, preaching, change your mind. The kingdom of heaven is here. And so what's at stake here is not how you get in the kingdom. The kingdom is here, friends. The kingdom is within you. The question is, how do we encounter the kingdom? How do we see what is real? How do we know God's presence? It's a different type of question. If you would, by analogy, let me explain it this way. I think it's true, and most wisdom teachers and philosophers and psychologists would probably agree with this statement. You can't be happy unless you're also grateful. Because if you're not grateful for what you have, you're not going to be grateful for what you get. You're not going to be grateful about tomorrow. If you're not grateful for the blessing of today. But we don't elevate gratitude as some work to be earned. We don't preach to somebody who's having a bad day, just be grateful. And yet, at the same time, the key to happiness really is gratitude. And that is how I hear this sermon of Jesus. If you want to be in that place where we can see and experience and encounter the reign of God in our midst, where here are the states in your life for you to work on, for you to encounter this moment, to see it, embrace the reversals of values that are in our text. Learn to be meek. Learn to be poor in spirit. Learn to be a peacemaker. And then maybe the kingdom will come into view. And we can also approach this a second way. So I know lately we've been writing about this thing called edge spaces. Like an orchard is an edge space, a garden is an edge space, and it's the moment where two worlds collide into something beautiful. A garden, of course, is nature, and it's part man, and it's the combination together about tending it that makes it the symbol in scripture of the place where heaven and earth come together. And I know I talk about that a lot, but imagine the Beatitudes as the description of that edge space. We don't really want to be in heaven, friends. We don't want to be on earth. What we want to be is at the point where heaven and earth come together. And what better way of describing that state than what Jesus is saying here? Blessed are the poor in spirit, those who still they have, but yet they're longing for. Blessed are the peacemakers. They stand in between conflict and resolution. They're in the edge, that space that they can see God. And it's very simple, friends, or maybe not simple, but we all have that place, that moment where we feel closer to God. For some of us, it's on the top of that mountain, looking out at the great expanse, mountaineers call it touching the void. Some of us, it's on the surfboard in the depths. For some of us, it might be in this sacred space, surrounded by years and years of prayer, and tears, and laughter, and fellowship. We all know that space, that edge space, when we can encounter God the most. And I think these Beatitudes, again, how we can grow to encounter what is real. And finally, if you want a picture of Jesus, just read these verses again. This is the Bible's description of who Jesus is. And it is who we will be because we are being transformed into the image of Christ. So here is your true self, friends. Here is what you will be. And the journey you made for us, again, is not to earn our way in. You're already there, friends. But let us encounter and grow into what we actually are. It's like coming to this table every Sunday. We come, not because in coming, this is where we get that ticket into heaven, but we come forward and we eat to learn that Christ is for us. Christ is for you. You do not earn it at this table, but maybe at this table we come to realize it, to see it, to encounter it, to experience it. And then, as always, mostly just as important as coming, to take it out back into the world with love, food, and fellowship. Amen.
As God-beloved children united in Christ, let us pray for the church, the whole human community, and the well-being of the earth, our home. God, our wisdom, renew the church in the power of the Spirit, that it may do justice, love kindness, live humbly and boldly, proclaim Christ crucified. We pray for social justice and humanitarian aid ministries. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
God, our source, we honor you by caring wisely for your creation. We pray for the health of old growth forests, ice caps, and ocean currents. Preserve the diversity of life on earth. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
God, our righteousness, raise up visionary leaders who serve with integrity and respect human rights. Increase freedom in every nation. Protect educators, journalists, artists, and religious activists who are reviled for speaking truth. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
God, our advocate, you give hope to all who suffer because of persecution, poverty, or war. Reunite separated families and bring orphaned children to safety. Comfort any who grieve or suffer in any way, especially Joe, Carol, Misty, Annette, George, Vince, Dietmar, Michael, Marty, Victor, Corinne, Julie, Paul, Mike, Kenneth, Paul, Jerry Ann, George, Jill, for immigrants and refugees, that they may be treated justly, their dignity honored, and their rights upheld, for victims of war and violence, for victims of natural disasters in our nation and around the world, and also for those people whom we name aloud or in our hearts.
Family of Lee.
Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
God, our blessing, we pray for the children and youth of this congregation and for parents, grandparents, mentors, teachers, and youth ministers who model love for their neighbor and care for others. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
God, our joy, we give thanks for the lives of those before us who journeyed humbly with you. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
Confident that the Holy Spirit receives our prayers and answers us, we commend all for whom we pray to God's loving kindness made known to us in Christ Jesus, our Savior.
Amen.
Well, this is one of those moments I realized I didn't properly plan, because we talked about this in the last church council meeting, and then we elected a whole bunch of people who probably weren't at that meeting, but we agreed that this would be our installation Sunday. So if you're new to council, I'm going to invite you forward here in a moment, and if you didn't know this was going to happen, again, I send my apologies. We did discuss it. You just weren't there, and I should have reached out more. But I would also invite all of our previously existing members to also come forward to stand in solidarity as well as to renew your vows. And if it's Tammy, if it's too much, don't worry about it. Come down to it. But anyways, the following people have been elected by this congregation to serve as the congregational council. And these are our new members. Brian Johnson is council president. Susan Painter is vice president. Brenda Grail is head of the Finance Committee. Bob Harb Ward is the head of the Property Committee. Sabine Moresco as the head of the Stewardship Committee. And then David Kramer, not on council, but elected to be our Endowment Committee member. So can those people come forward? And if you're on council, please come forward too, or I'm inviting you forward. On behalf of the church, I thank you guys all for serving. You do a great job for this community, and your presence and your work is well appreciated by me and by everyone else. So, a reading from 1 Corinthians. There are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are a variety of services, but the same Lord, and there are a variety of activities, but it's the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So on behalf of your sisters and brothers in Christ, I ask you all, will you accept and faithfully carry out the duties of the office to which you've been elected? And if so, please respond with, I will, and I ask God to help.
I will, and ask God to help me.
Congregation, will you support these, your elected leaders, and will you share in their mutual ministry that Christ Christ has given to all who are baptized. If so, please respond, we will, and we ask God to help us.
We will, and we ask God to help us.
Well, I now declare you installed as council members of this congregation. May Almighty God bless you and direct your days and your deeds in peace, that you may be faithful servants of Christ.
Amen. Amen.
And may the peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
We invite you to share the peace of Christ with those around us. Invite us all now to rise for our offering hymn.
Oh.
what you have prepared for those who love you. Yet in this meal, you reveal the wideness of your mercy. Use what we have gathered to feed us with the reign of God come here. Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen. Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirits of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen.
Joined together by the Spirit, let us pray as our Savior taught us. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power.
right, to left. You may receive communion in whichever posture is right for you. You may stand or kneel, only extend your hand out, and the bread will be given to you. You do have gluten-free bread upon your request. And then to reach in when the wine is passed around, you either take the red cup, which is wine, or the clear cup, which is grape juice. If you wish to come forward and only receive a blessing, you may do that too. Just come with your arms folded. Just remember, all are invited, all will receive, all may come. Amen.
Thank you.
body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, keep us in grace.
Amen.
Let us pray. Radiant God, we have seen your glory in the face of Jesus Christ. In the sacrament of his body and blood, you have drawn us to your heart. Send us from this table with delight, that our lives may reflect the beauty of your love and bear witness to all we have seen and heard. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Friends, we just paused briefly for some announcements, and I'm really light today on announcements, so enjoy that. But we just want to emphasize or remind people that next Sunday will be our Library Sunday. Library Sunday, we have lots of games and food out in the narthex after service. And there's a bunch of prizes if you win a bingo, and we have some of the prizes out there. So please join us next Sunday for a celebration and a fundraiser for our library. And with that being said, let us pause for the blessing. May the triune God, who has put a new song in your mouth and turned your heart for praise, bless you now and forever.
Amen. Thank you.
Go in peace, serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.